Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Tactical Tuesdays. Thanks for tuning in. On these episodes, we'll be diving deep into different areas of marketing. And again, we're going to be going in the weeds. So stay tuned. We hope you learned something and we'll see you soon. Welcome to another show of Tactical Tuesday. I have Kayla Davis back on the show with me. Kayla runs our content department here at Array Digital. So we're going to be diving into some more things about SEO, and today specifically, what's wrong with my website? This is a question that I think a lot of attorneys have. They don't understand. Maybe an agency like us comes and says, hey, we noticed this is wrong, or this problem exists, or your traffic's down. And sometimes you might be actively adding content, writing copy. And a lot of times I see attorneys that have been dedicated for years of producing blogs and copy, and they're not sure why it's not worked out and they haven't seen the results. Or maybe they did have the results and somehow that changed. And what they used to rely on, I think this is probably more of a common problem, what they used to rely on and get leads from has now gone away and they're not sure. What's wrong with my website? What's wrong with my content? So Kayla's here to kind of help us dive into that and hopefully give you some good information, what things to look at, what things to check, and hopefully how to improve that. So,
yes, sir. Happy to be back. This is episode 3 for our Content Tactical Tuesdays. So yes, as Kevin mentioned, we're going to be going all in on some common questions that we hear from attorneys who are saying, I've been working at my site. I've been trying to get it to perform well. And I'm really just stumped. So there are some common themes that I usually see when it comes to attorney websites, and I'm happy to share them today. I put together a little presentation just to keep our thoughts in order, but really, really happy to go into it today. And Kevin, you'll be really helpful picking your brain here because you talk to a lot of prospects, a lot of attorneys across the nation. So you'll be able to really help us understand some of those common questions as well.
Yeah. And I think too, I literally was just on a panel discussion with a few other agency owners that are, you know, in our same space. And, you know, you got your startup law firms, you know, lawyers that are solo, trying to kind of figure this stuff out and understand what they should do. And then you have, you know, again, firms that have been doing this for many, many years that have now hit some blocks or walls and they're having, you know, a decrease in traffic or they're not quite competitive like they used to be. So I think it matters where you're at, if you're listening, and if you're just getting started versus, you know, you've been doing this a long time. So hopefully we'll cover, you know, quite a few things that'll be helpful for all of you.
All right, well then let's go ahead and dive into it, if that's good with you. So some common themes that I see, and I'll just go ahead and share my screen here, and then we can kind of open it up a little bit more for the conversation. But some common issues that I see with stagnant law firm websites. There's several. I could put a lot of them in here, but I put some main bullet points that I normally see. One that really speaks for itself is if your website looks super duper old. So if you have a site that looks like it's straight from 2002, then a lot of times people are going to jump onto it. They're going to say, maybe this law firm isn't with the times. Maybe they have an old way of doing things. Maybe I won't be able to communicate with the law firm virtually. If I'm injured, that's a big thing for personal injury. And so they may go and find that site that is a lot more up-to-date and intuitive and gives off the messaging that they are a kind of digital-first, technology-driven law firm. That's something that a lot of people look for, especially with, you know, different generations coming into the workforce, coming into adulthood. You may have someone who is 22 working at a shipyard and now they were injured and they need a personal injury attorney or a maritime attorney, et cetera. And they want to come to a website that speaks to them in a way of, I'm hurt. I want to do my consultation over Zoom. Who can help me? I'm not able to move. My leg is broken, right? So you want to make sure that your website really has that kind of messaging up front, but also through the design. And that's something that we have a fantastic web team here that has all of these really quick, easy, clean, simple templates and plugins to be able to help, even with custom sites, build those out so that your site is really clean and it really speaks to your audience. So I won't step on their toes there or steal their thunder, but this is something that you should definitely call us for, check in, and see what we can do for you there.
Yeah, and this is a thing, right? So again, another thing I was just on a discussion with is you might have been doing SEO for a long time. You might still show up and you're getting a lot of traffic to your website and you might be looking at that, but are you converting as much of that traffic as possible? So if you have that outdated website, doesn't mean Google doesn't still favor your site because of its authority. It's been there a long time. Authority is a big thing. Like if you have long-standing authority, high domain rating, then you might be getting away with some of this stuff. But will it convert those users at the highest velocity possible? Probably not. So if you have an outdated site, it doesn't mean you can't perform because you've just been there forever. But at the end of the day, are you really converting as many clients as possible? Probably not. So visuals a big thing and people's perspective on how you operate as a firm. So you need to get that updated visually and user experience as well. You know, how you might have an outdated website, but you've been doing SEO, you've been around for a long time, and you might still show up in results and be okay with that. But having an outdated website with a lot of authority, you're still missing out on the opportunity to convert those users that are coming there at the highest level possible. And, you know, we're just having this discussion where having a high DR and links and stuff over years, decades, is still, you know, very valuable, and you could be showing up for things for that. But once they hit your website, it's that conversion rate, right? And how are we impacting that? So you need to update your website. You need to think about user experience and things like that as well. So even if you have an old looking website that performs well and shows up, you're missing a big piece of what's important.
Completely agree. Yeah, and I've seen it. Anytime we're writing content, it's important for us to do competitor analysis. And a lot of times competitor analysis requires that we see who is appearing first for common terms. And every so often, there will be a law firm whose site is very, very outdated. It's not very quick, but for whatever reason, it's ranking first. Usually not for long. I'll check in every now and again and see if that page is still ranking well, and it's not, or that site rather. But sometimes you just have to wait for your site to be impacted. And that's what I can see quite a bit. So very, very important what Kevin mentioned there. And it kind of feeds into the next point that I had here about poor optimization of your pages. So a lot of times, even if your site is well updated, well maintained, if the content on your money pages, which we describe as your practice area pages, location pages, or your blog pages, if those are not well optimized in terms of the keywords that you're targeting and how you speak to your audience, then you're going to lose out on a lot of that engagement. And engagement can mean bounce rate, how long people are kind of sitting on that page. If they go to that page and then click on another page, like an internal link, and kind of explore your website more, if they engage with any interactive features on the site, so videos, downloadable elements, FAQ accordions, all of these kind of signals really tell Google that your site is actually helpful to users. And so when you are able to really refine and optimize these pages and have content that lends itself to having more engaging features, then you'll be able to see your site begin to flourish, right? But if you don't have content that really tells Google first and foremost, hey, I'm a divorce lawyer in Atlanta, or hey, I am a personal injury attorney in Miami. If you don't have content that really speaks to that, then a lot of times Google is not really going to know what your site is about. Let's say you only have 100 words on the page. It's not really going to be able to contextualize your site, and then it's just going to move on. So it's really striking a balance with these pages, because obviously you don't want to do what's called keyword stuffing or making your content sound really robotic, but you are balancing, you know, getting your content found between humans and an algorithm. And you need to give the algorithm that context for those keywords that it needs to really understand what you can offer. But then you also need to have that empathetic nature of an attorney who can help with divorce, of an attorney who can help with personal injury, or even more of an aggressive tone if someone was hurt by a truck driver and the truck driver's insurance is now being very intimidating and offering a low settlement. these types of things, you need to really understand and convey that tone in the content. And that's a lot of times what I do not see. Another thing within that is heading structure or not having heading structure. So within your content, it's more than just putting words on a page. It's really important to break things down into sections and to utilize H2, H3, H4 to categorize those subtopics and ideas. So when you have these big blocks of text and just these paragraphs, A, is anyone really going to read that? Probably not. You should be able to kind of categorize things so that skimming is super easy to do. And then overall, this last point here, talking about, you know, title tags, meta descriptions, schema, these are on-page optimizations that your SEO team can really handle for you once your content is done. So in order to have your SEO as a whole work well, you want to make sure that you have content that speaks to what Google needs and has those eat factors that we've talked about in earlier episodes, but it also has what users need to feel comfortable reaching out to your firm. I can also talk about utilization of AI content that we talked about last week, Kevin. That'd be fun.
Yeah, well, we'll get in that next. I think just to add to this real quick, it's not just writing content for the user that's helpful and all that, but it's also, you know, writing it for the algorithm and making sure that Google gets what it needs in the schema and descriptions and can understand what it's about. But also now you have AI at the top of your results for the most part. That's newer. And so you'll see these AI results at the top. Well, that's pulling from your content on your website. And you want to show up for that. And how are you going to show up for that? Well, it's got to be a quick, short, concise answer that Google can easily find within your content page. And so a lot of what she's showing here is, how do we make sure we're writing great content that's original and helpful, but then also making sure that we include the right things behind the scenes so that AI results can populate rich snippets and all that good stuff. So why would you be the answer, basically? So we wanted to check all those boxes and make sure that everything's there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's kind of another thing too. It's like, if you've been keeping up with Google's algorithm and kind of the structure of a search engine result page, you can really think about in the past few years how those featured snippets have been up towards the top of the page. And then you have your ads, and then you have your organic results. And then you also sometimes maybe have some additional ads at the bottom. And then between the featured snippet and the ads or organic results, sometimes just depending on your search, if it was more for a local product or service, then you'll get those Google business profile listings. But overall, that's the main structure, right? And so now you can think about, not that featured snippets are going away, but now you can kind of think about the AI overviews that Kevin just mentioned as the next iteration of those featured snippets, where instead of it just gathering, a quote or a paragraph from one website, it's going to try to collect information from several websites and then show those websites as resources in that AI overview. So a lot of times you'll get 3-4 links mm-hmm. pointing to, here's the information that we've given you and kind of here's the source. So it's still very, very important to treat your content with care, because Google is not necessarily making the information up. It's using the information that's already on the web and putting together an answer there. And then it's still featuring where it got those answers from. So you can still get that traffic from those pages. So very, very important. We did show in last week's episode that utilization of AI content can be quite dangerous to a website. It can tank your traffic. And once your traffic is tanked, it may stay that way for the foreseeable future. So incredibly important that when you're writing your content, it's legally accurate. It doesn't make any subjective statements that wouldn't be okay with the bar. I always tell clients, anything that can be seen as subjective, yes, take it out. Just make objective statements in your content. So if you're saying that you're the best lawyer or you're the top lawyer in an area, is that an objective statement? No. Take it out and just speak to your credentials objectively. So you just want to make sure that you have that. And then that will also help with keeping your content authentic. Again, if you're really, truly just trying to write for the purposes of SEO, your content can sound very robotic. It really only covers basic statute information. And yeah, it doesn't really, bring in that nuance that an attorney would inject in their content naturally when they're writing it. That's another reason why at Array Digital, we have the content workshops where we sit down with attorneys, we show them the research that we've done for each piece, and we essentially interview them to get that nuance that we need. And we allow that interview to guide the piece while also doing the same SEO optimizations that we need to get the piece found. But once someone comes to that page, they feel this newer sense of connection with that attorney that they're not able to get elsewhere on sites that are handled by agencies or in-house SEOs that maybe don't have the time to really execute that content well. And then the EAT information I did chat about too on the kind of other points here.
Yeah, well, I also wanted to kind of throw in here how updated the content is, right? So those AI results are trying to pull not just the best answer, but what's, you know, relevant, what's new, what's fresh, what's today's answer for that versus something that's like, you know, 2020. You know, so it's looking for that, you know, how fresh is the content? Is it a recent answer to this question or is it, you know, a very old piece that is available? So I think going to your content and make sure that it's up to date as well is very important.
100%. And then the last thing is lack of EAT information. I see this all the time. The 2023 helpful content update that Google rolled out really changed how SEO operates. And something that we're seeing that attorneys really, really do need are these kind of information brackets on their site that speak to ways that they demonstrate expertise and experience and really building trust with the user. So that can be done through having authorship first and foremost. Any blog that you write or any piece that you write on your website should be essentially authored by someone who has the credentials to be speaking on that topic. So even if you have someone who is ghostwriting for you, essentially, you still want to make sure that they have the opportunity to read that content, make any edits that they need to, and approve of that content so that they can have that kind of authorship credibility. And then Google will see that and really appreciate that someone who is in this level of authority, you know, endorses the information that's on their site and it's not just posted there without any kind of oversight. Another thing that we see often or want to see that's really helpful to legal websites are testimonials and client stories. So really what you want to make sure that you do is when you have a testimonial, this is a really good way to start to rank for keywords that are like best attorney in my area or top attorney in my area, because you as a lawyer cannot say that. But if you have kind of this quote of someone saying that they had a great experience with you, you were the best ally that they had in their case when they were going up against, you know, another person, a terrible insurance company, et cetera, then you can go ahead and feature that as long as it's clearly a quote, right? But you can go ahead and feature that on your website and that really speaks to your experience there. Client stories, if you were able to help someone and get them a fantastic settlement or get them a great verdict, go ahead and include that on your website. Of course, make sure it's okay with them first, but really have those stories to speak to what you do on a daily basis on your website. And then finally, another thing that we kind of see sometimes is lack of imagery. There's a lot of websites that I go on for attorneys where they just don't have any pictures of themselves or their attorneys or their office. It's really just text, some stock photos, and then that's it. And when you are going to be paying someone tens of thousands of dollars, you really do want to know who you're going to pay and be able to put a face to a name. So don't be afraid to put that imagery on your site. I know we can all get a little self-conscious about our own pictures, but just know that a kind smile and, you know, a clean image and just putting that on your site is really, really welcoming to users, and that sticks with them versus just the site that doesn't have kind of any faces to names at all. So these are the main things that I see. Of course, there's a lot more, but across the board, 80% of the time when I do attend kind of these assessment calls with Kevin, these are the main things that I really, really see. And I would love for lawyers across America to be able to take this information and make adjustments today. I think it would help everyone that watches this video for sure.
Yeah, I mean, to kind of wrap it up, to make sense of it all, I guess, is you can't say you're the best and you're coming into maybe you're a new firm or a new market and like, how do I show up for stuff and, you know, whatever. What we're doing here is we're showing Google why we're the best without saying we're the best, through experience, through reviews, through client stories, through testimonials, through results. And so we don't say we're the best. We're showing Google that we have experience. And this is why you should choose my website, my answer, for the research result. And so we have to lay this stuff out for Google to pick up, to trust the website, and to show us as the authority in that space. And so, and then I was gonna say, the photos, it's not just, you know, good for the content, but it's a conversion rate optimization. It's, I see the attorney. If I have a video, even better, right? I can hear, I can listen to them and say, hey, do I like to connect with this attorney? Do I connect well with this attorney? Does it look like they can represent me? And so if you had a video on the page, even better than a photo. And again, that's going to increase your conversion rates when they hit that page as well. So,
yeah, and that's perfect, Kevin, because I did put some useful tips in here, not only to kind of summarize what we just talked about, but some actionable tips that people can do today. So one thing that I have to tell all attorneys engaged in SEO is stop Googling yourself and stop Googling your competition. You will get your feelings hurt. Just know that if you don't show up for whatever keyword you're typing in, there's a lot of factors behind just, I typed in this keyword and I don't see myself. I am going to see different results being in a different state than you are going to see. And that doesn't mean that your SEO is not working, but just know that SEO is a long-term game. And when you play that game, you're going to realize that there are so many different components at play, so many pages that have to be optimized, re-optimized over time. And the main thing that I see that kind of sets an attorney up for, I don't want to say failure, that's pretty dramatic, but it doesn't help, is Googling themselves all the time. You wake up every day and you type in your own name or you type in your law firm, you don't see yourself where you need to be. And then all of a sudden, the positive reports and that progress that you're making over time, you feel like it doesn't mean anything and you're not getting anywhere because you're not number one. That's just not how it works. That's unrealistic. If you started an SEO campaign 2 months ago, don't expect to be number one in your state today. This is something that is going to take time. And depending on where you live, let's say you are in New York, you may have a tougher time getting where you want to be than someone who is in Wyoming, right? So just be kind to yourself and understand the different components at play that can affect rankings and be able to communicate that with your team, but understand that they're there to help you if you're working with a good agency. They're there to help you and will be able to explain their progress to you. But I just always have to say that first point. Do not Google yourself. Don't do it.
I think that's great. And I think it works the other way around too. This is weird. I'll have attorneys reach out that are looking for like SEO or something, but they also want to talk about how they're already doing so good and they've figured it all out. So, you know, searching yourself from your own office and you're like, we're number one. Well, you're there. And so location plays a huge role. And this is every mile you move away, you're going to get different results, right? And if you change the keywords just a slight bit, maybe you use lawyer versus attorney versus near me versus you add a word, right? And or in or whatever, you'll see the results vary. And then Google's constantly changing the search result page, testing stuff, throwing AI in there. And so things are constantly moving around. And so kind of what you're saying is there's so much change and variables that we're not going for like, you show up for this word forever and we've made it. It's the buildup. It's that broad foundation where we're showing up for lots of things more often than we were. And that leads to more traffic and more visitors. And that allows us to rank for the higher intent kind of keywords. So it's definitely the long game. And you want to make sure you're investing in the right areas that's building that up versus just going for like, I want to be, you know, personal injury attorney in New York and that's it. You know, that's just not how we think about it here. So,
yep, it's a cumulative play.
I think the other thing too, and we're going to get into this, you're talking about strategy, but understand first off, I think, especially if you're in a very competitive area, what does it really take and how, you know, are you going down a road that is maybe too difficult for you to get some ground gain. So just, I think having an understanding and going through a strategy session and looking at the data, you know, should you have your office in this super densely populated area and you're just getting started or not, right? So think about some business decisions there. But I think talking to folks like us or others to like get a sense for like, hey, is this something that I'm going to be able to accomplish? Then make sure you just have the right expectations. I think that's important.
For sure. Yes. Resetting expectations is something that we are not new to. And that's not to say we are trying to dampen anyone's excitement for an SEO campaign or discourage them and make them think that this is not something that they can accomplish. But it does not serve anyone, you as the client or us as the strategist, to be unrealistic and dishonest with you about how long it will take to actually achieve your goals. So we always like to come in and say, you're in a competitive area, you're a brand new law firm, let's talk about how you can really get to where you need to be. Or vice versa, you're in a very rural area, it's probably not gonna take you too long to rank for the keyword that you need to, or you're in a very rural area, there's not a lot of traffic for the keyword that you wanna rank for. So just kind of putting that in context is always incredibly, incredibly important. And when we do that here, we're always running what's called a forensic website audit, which I've talked about in the past. And that forensic website audit goes through page by page of your site, gets a thorough understanding of how engaged people are, bounce rate, engaged sessions, conversions so far for that page, a keyword analysis, what it's already ranking for. It covers all of this for every single page of your website. And then when the SEO team identifies which pages are really lacking in performance, then that is when that information comes to the content team and we remediate a lot of the content on those pages in order to get it to perform well. And that is the genesis of our content strategy. So if you do not have a strategy before you start writing, you're simply guessing. You're just saying, I think I'll rewrite this page, or I heard from a previous strategist or agency that it's good to just pump out content. But if you never sit down to analyze if that content is actually working for you, then it can be a wasted effort. And so, you know, the whole purpose of today's conversation is, what can I do? I'm at a standstill. What can I do for my site? And a lot of times when you don't have a strategy in place, that is the square one of it all, right?
Yeah.
You really need to make sure that you have a strategy and narrow that down. And then you'll be able to see that all of this effort that you've been putting into writing a bunch of blogs and writing a bunch of announcements about your firm, while that's important, if you're not doing that in a way that makes sense to all the other things that are going on in your site, then you're going to find that you've put in a lot of wasted effort. So have a strategy in place before you even start writing. And that's why I mentioned here, do a comprehensive website audit or have an agency do that for you. And then you want to identify your goals / keywords. So even though it's very important to write content for your human user first, you do still want to give Google the context that it needs to rank the page. So if you are a Los Angeles personal injury attorney, then you want to make sure that you are kind of injecting that keyword as well as some related synonyms on that page. So Los Angeles personal injury attorney, personal injury lawyer, PI lawyer, making sure that you have kind of these variable terms to put on your page to help Google kind of capture it all and cast a wider net. Super important there. If you don't know what keywords you want to rank for, or kind of just the services, I should say, as a whole, that you want to rank for, again, you're just writing to write, and it's not really going to help you in the long run. Kevin, did you want to maybe add anything to that? I know you see this a lot in assessment calls of not having a strategy when attorneys are writing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to know where you're going and make sure you're going in the right direction. I think, you know, like I was saying before, you can spend years writing in the wrong direction and not including the things that you should be including to get the results you need. And we've seen this with clients that written for 10 years, every single week, forever, and a pile of content that's not effective. And so if you're going to spend the time, it's costly. If it's your time, if you're a lawyer, you want to make sure you're doing it properly. Again, just like investing. I kind of talked about investment for retirement You know, if you just put all your money in a savings account with 0.01% interest, it's not growing for you. It's not going to do anything for you. So you want to make sure you're doing this in the right direction. You have a strategy and you visit that strategy as often as possible to make sure that, are we still on point? Is there any major changes within Google that we need to step back and make adjustments for? The answer is going to be yes all the time, pretty much. So yeah, it's just super important to have that. And then goals, you know, the strategy includes goals of the law firm. Hey, we're trying to grow more PI cases. Oh, wait, we're so slammed and we just added a family lawyer. We need to give them work. So now the strategy might adjust. So that, you know, what's the business goals? How does this play into that, to those goals? So super important.
That's a good point that you mentioned, Kevin, because we have had that conversation with quite a couple attorneys where they're like, at first, I really want to focus on this one area. Then they get slammed for that area. And they're like, well, I can hire another attorney. And this attorney is really good at workers' comp. Can we do some more workers' comp cases? And then we're able to adjust that strategy or make a new one. And then they may have like a sprint as well as their monthly content. And so now they're able to start building up that pipeline for that new area that they need to. And then it kind of keeps progressing. Okay, now I want to do some family law. And then they start to become like this larger full service law firm that's able to help with multiple different problems that their clients come to them with. So I've seen that quite a bit.
For those listening, a sprint is a lot of content for that subject or that practice area done in a shorter amount of time. So instead of like writing a piece every month, you're going to really put out a lot of content to cover that practice area well, to answer a lot of the main questions and support it with blogs and, you know, your practice area page. So we do that a lot for clients is where they want to kind of get a little bit better trajectory on an area that they're not well known in. And so we have to build it up in a more rapid way, I guess.
So you'll have monthly, think about it this way. You can sign up to do 2 units of content per month. So that would give you in a, let's say, year time span, 24 new pieces of content on your website. It could be brand new if you're starting from scratch, or we may have revisited some existing pieces of content on your site. So, but regardless, it will be 24. If at any point you're like, you know what, I really want to either ramp things up in the current area that I'm working on or add in a new service to my site, you could say, I want to do, you know, over the next 3 months, 8 units or 12 units of content just focused on a different area. That would be that content sprint. So you're able to really kind of mix and match how you need to, having stable content coming to you from month to month, but then also employing different projects in the content department to allow you to kind of capitalize on areas that you have not done so for just yet. Within all that content, though, no matter if you write it, we write it, a different agency writes it, it's critical that your content is user-centric. So I certainly don't want to confuse anyone watching this video. I know I'm going back and forth between make sure that your content is well-written for Google and make sure that your content is well-written for the user. They're not mutually exclusive. You do need to make sure that you're doing both. But what Google is now doing is it's getting a lot smarter about how it evaluates content and ranks that content. And what we're seeing is instead of you having to inject all these different variations of the same type of keyword to make sure that you rank for it, now Google understands those kind of contextualizing words a little bit better and understands a page a lot better, especially when there's internal links to other pages on your site that make it a little bit more clear, right? So if you have a page on your site, let's say an Atlanta car accident page, that can link to your main pillar page of Georgia car accident lawyer. And then it can also link to a page for the statute of limitations for car accidents in Georgia as well. And kind of building out that information base really helps Google to understand what your site is about as a whole. So if you're already doing that with Google, you really want to make sure that the content that is on screen that your users can see is utilizing bulleted lists, numbered lists, things that really summarize information well. The unfortunate reality of our generation, I guess, is that, you know, as people get older, our time on page and our attention spans are getting shorter and shorter. So you really do have the kind of added challenge of making your content appealing, but using or doing that in fewer words than you were able to do before, because people don't want to read through blocks of text. They want to get the information and go. So really just summarizing things in bulleted lists, numbered lists. You could even do like checklists, which could be really helpful. So if you're saying, hey, here are all the things that you need to do right after you've gotten into a car accident, having a checklist that people can interact with is fantastic. So thinking about ways that are really user-centric and get the user engaged is always important. Another thing that you can do is if you have a lot of information about a topic and you're just struggling to condense it down, take all of the most pertinent points, put them on page, and then the additional supporting information, put that in some FAQ accordions. And then that way, you're able to have a lot of that supporting information and people can view it at will. They can kind of, you know, expand or condense those FAQs as needed, but it's not kind of in everybody's face and people don't come to a page that overwhelms them with information when it's not even maybe the information that they were looking for or needed from the beginning. So these are some top tips to make sure your content's user-centric. Of course, it's always helpful to give us a call and kind of sit down with our team to figure out specifically what's going on with your site. These are just general tips. But, you know, we've met with tons of attorneys and they all have very individual things that they can improve upon today that we've been able to identify for them. But these are some things that I feel like across the board are pretty important.
Yeah, these are huge. I mean, the key takeaways of love seeing that in our content. That's really taking the key points of that whole article and putting it at the very top. You know, hey, here's the answer quick, instead of making them read all this long content. So it's bringing it up to the forefront. And I think that's been really nice. And then, you know, the FAQs, I mean, I see that a lot in the AI results or the featured snippets at the top of Google's pulling from those sections. And then even if you click on that on a search, it'll even slide you down to that answer versus you starting from the top of the page, right? So if Google's doing that, then it's obviously seeing value in how that's been done. So I think that's important to kind of see what Google's doing with that content and how it's using it and bringing it to the top of the results. Adding value with graphics and the checklist and all that good stuff is just great. Think about if you're reading a book, if you're writing a book and you want the person reading it to be able to take actionable steps from reading that book. You know, what do they do in the books? They give you PDFs that you can download. They give you checklists. They give you maybe a website that goes with the book that you can download resources. So just think about that. And that's what we're trying to accomplish here with our content. How do we give something a lot of information, but make sure that they can take steps to take action with that? And hopefully that's reaching out to your law firm and setting up a consultation or whatever it may be. So.
Yeah, nice segue there. The last two points kind of go together. So injecting calls to action throughout the content or throughout the site. And then a lot of that CTA information can really be pulled from free resources. Everyone loves getting something for free. We all love free 99, right? So when we talk about free resources, this can vary among different types of attorneys. So PI attorneys, it's very common that they have free consultations, right? But divorce attorneys, not so much. So you really do have to sit down and think about what types of free resources would be valuable to your law firm. But the reason we say free is because, as I mentioned earlier, when people are hiring an attorney, they are nervous about the sticker shock. And so whatever relationship you can make with that user before they even give you a call, whether that's a video that they can watch that gives them some advice, not necessarily legal advice, you can have a disclaimer in there saying, don't take this as legal advice, but kind of giving them some support there and answering some questions, ebooks, downloadable infographics, anything that you can provide that is kind of an information base for the person who is dealing with maybe criminal legal troubles or they were just injured, or they maybe have a new idea and they want to look into trademark for their idea, right? Or their product. These are things that can be useful for them to build that relationship with you and see you as kind of this authoritative figure without having to reach out to you first. It gives them something to chew on. If you're able to do free consultations, by all means do that, because a lot of the terms that we see in Google is XYZ attorney near me, free consultation. That is a keyword that we see a lot of times. People want free consultations. And unfortunately, if you're not in the PI space, I understand that that's not always feasible. But whatever you can do that is free, do it. And then once you create maybe like an ebook or an infographic, you can start creating these very visual inline CTAs, calls to actions throughout your content that says, you know, do you like the information you're reading? Download this related ebook. Like, you can make all these really interesting kind of visual separators in the content that kind of drives people to do additional actions on that page rather than just read it and give you a call. A lot of times people can have anxiety about reaching out to an attorney because they don't know what to expect. They feel like it's going to be a huge interrogation or eating up a lot of their time. And so they may be a little bit more hesitant to just pick up the phone and give you a call, right? So just saying, hey, if you liked this information, call our office today. Sometimes that's not enough. You need those free resources. I say it all the time. Very, very important. Estate planning. This is something that you can do. What are things that people need to know when they're creating a will? Easy checklist that people can do, or easy bullet point that people can do. And then you can kind of template this out as you need to for different topics that you encounter a lot during your intake process with new clients. But those two things go hand in hand. And it's something that I always recommend. Free 99. That's what the people want. So definitely engage.
Super important. You know, especially for like your estate planning firms or even divorce, where it might not be an immediate need, but it's something they need to do, versus like PI, where it's like, bam, this happened and now I need an attorney, or I just had a criminal offense and now, boom, I need this immediately. Not to say you can't do those things in those situations. What to do after a car accident, you can get very creative with things that you can give them that they can use before they engage you as an attorney. But, you know, again, I think it comes back to conversions as well. And if someone comes to your site and leaves, then you're hoping they just come back, versus you give them a resource, they download it, maybe they give them your email address so you can now send them more information. But then how do you go back to that page and say, all right, well, we're getting traffic to it, but we're not really getting a lot of people reaching back out to us. And so you want to look at that, and, you know, through other software, you can look at where should we place these calls to actions? You know, what's the best place to put it? Should we, you know, rework the page and add different things? So, you know, really getting into the weeds with your content and improving it as well, and saying, hey, let's just say you get a lot of traffic. I think that's half the battle. How do we get found? That's the first thing. And then once you're found, you're getting some traffic, is, okay, how do we make this content better, and how do we provide the resources that so we improve the amount of people that are converting on that page, versus writing the page and being like, done, we're done. I don't have to write that page ever again. Let me go to the next blog post. You really have to have an inventory of your whole website and always looking, hey, why is this one not working? Why is this page stopped here? It went to page 3 and it's stuck. You know, how do we revisit that and improve it, right? So there's a lot more to it, but I think, you know, you covered a lot of the major things that you should be doing to fix your site, to fix your content. But it always goes deeper than that, you know, and it's an ongoing process. So,
yeah, another thing that I'll see sometimes, not as common, but like broken links or broken videos, broken plugins, like people come to your page, and I hope most of y'all still aren't using Adobe Flash because that was taken off a long time ago. But unfortunately, there are some sites that have not undergone maintenance in a very, very long time. And so they have these broken elements on page. And so I'll visit it and it'll say video unable to play or failed video playback. And then you just start to look at other items.
404.
Forms broken, 404s, and you click through things and it gets really hard to navigate to the site. And as I mentioned, people's attention spans are getting shorter. So if they are experiencing a lot of these hangups when trying to explore your site and trying to see what your firm can do for them, then they're just going to go elsewhere to a site that is more engaging, cleaner, easier to navigate. So I say just always reach out to an SEO agency who puts a lot of these values first, user-centric, mobile-friendly sites that aren't broken, content that speaks to the user but is also optimized and Google-friendly, and then finally, an ongoing SEO strategy that allows us to track all your pages and how they're performing and really dive into that data to see where we need to make further enhancements. Incredibly important.
Absolutely. Well, I think we covered quite a bit there. So, you know, it's a lot to it, you know, and yes. If you're again solo, you know, just get a nice, small, healthy website built and make sure it's being maintained and follow some of these tips on writing the content if you're doing it yourself. And then, of course, you know, when you're ready, you go call someone like us or an agency, someone to help you out to do it right and to get some support. And, you know, it's actually, we have this co-create program now where it's way more affordable and the content's still being written by the attorneys, but it's supported by us and research and data and all these elements that you don't have to do on your own versus full service where you hire an agency to just take it off your plate and do it for you. So there's options out there. You know, if you're just starting or if you've been doing this for a long time and your results have changed, you know, I think it's just starting from understanding where you are, expectations, doing the research, and then starting with the strategy. Again, back to the original part in your presentation is just if you don't have a strategy, then don't even do anything.
Yeah, I want to just really quickly touch on that Co-Create program that you mentioned. We did launch the Co-Create program after encountering a lot of attorneys who really love writing. Of course, many attorneys were English majors, history majors. They enjoy writing. It's just kind of a fun pastime for them. And so we had a lot of attorneys that liked that and had a very specific way of writing and a specific tone that they wanted to capture that they felt no one else was really able to do, which can absolutely be true. I'm going to speak and write differently than Kevin. Kevin's going to speak and write differently than Eric, so on and so forth. So we have a program where we are able to really utilize our attorneys as an asset in that content production process while we provide them with all of the SEO research and background and outlines to be able to write the content that speaks to them and speaks to their users, but at the end of the day, gets found. And that's usually that last bit that isn't working for many attorneys that just keep writing and writing their content. You read it and it's actually really engaging. It could use some formatting, different formatting here and there, like the H2s that we talked about, H3s, headings, et cetera. But overall, the crux of it is there. They really just need to be able to understand those SEO components a little bit more to get the piece found in Google. And so that co-create process, that's where we're able to come in, and it's been super successful for a lot of our attorneys, and they really love engaging with us on a regular basis. And of course, at Array, you have one, you know, SEO strategist to go to, one content strategist to go to, a client advocate. Like, you're not being thrown all of this information, and then you have to try to figure out who to work with. If you have questions, just reach out to your content strategist and they can help you kind of write this information. And that's really the beauty of this program. And of course, we do full service. That's our traditional offering. But as time progresses more and more, I do encourage attorneys that can write to do so because there's just this level of nuance and these kind of tonal differences that I want to make sure is in their content to make it unique. And so as many attorneys, you know, can get involved in this process, that's what I would love to see.
Yeah. And plus it's a good stepping stone for those that just don't have the budget, you know, mm-hmm. And I think it's also important for attorneys or owners to understand this more and be involved. They don't have to always be involved, but I think, having that general understanding as a law firm owner or an owner of any business, SEO and content marketing should be part of your marketing all the time. So just having a better understanding so you know you're not getting, you know, told the wrong things or you have, you know, you're just ignorant to it. You need to have some general understanding. And being involved in a process like this, one, saves you money. And number two, it allows you to really get a deeper understanding of how this all works.
All right. Well, that was my spiel for today, Kevin. I can talk all day about it. But I think beyond that, let's just go ahead and book a free assessment with Kevin. He's a genius here. He'll be able to help you out if you have questions. And then strategists sometimes come on the call to support and just look into your site. But Kevin is a man full of awesome ideas and lots of helpfulness. He's seen it all. So really just reach out to him with questions and more information for sure.
Yeah, if you ever schedule a call with me, I'm usually going to bring someone like Kayla, you know, other strategists for different purposes, maybe this PPC or something like that. But always lean on them because I know as much as I can know, but I'm not on the front lines either. So I'm more about business, right? So we talk about business and operations and goals and what makes sense. And I bring in my my folks like Kayla and them to tell us what will work for you and what needs to be done so that we can even plan to do something with you or not and make sure that we're a right fit for each other. So Kayla, I appreciate it. Good stuff. Anyone, if you want access to her presentation, let me know. LinkedIn, Kevin Daisy. You can reach out to me there or email me kevin@arraydigital.com and we can get you a copy of that so you have a list to follow.
Absolutely. And more tips too. More tips available if you need anything else. So thank you so much, Kevin. Really appreciated the time today.
All right, everyone. Thank you. Signing off. We'll see you on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Managing Partners Podcast. If you could just please leave a review on one of our podcast platforms, we would greatly appreciate it. For any marketing help with your law firm, please consider Array Digital at arraydigital.com.